that next week, if we can tell, remind the Sunday school teachers to have that. Let's give the praise team a round of applause. Praise God, praise God. And we are still in our series, the resurrection series of this year that I entitled The Power of the Resurrection. If you have your Bibles, please turn them to the book of Matthew, or you can power up your cell phones, but make sure don't take a phone call or get out of that ESPN playoffs thing that you're in there. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew 28. Real quick read there, chapter 28. The last chapter. I'm going to be reading from verses 16 to 20, but we will tackle verse 18 this afternoon. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in the word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this building that you provided for us. We thank you for your sovereign hand, Lord God, for making it possible for us to arrive in this place safe and sound. We thank you for our businesses, our careers, our work, our family, our spouse and our children, our friends, this church family that you've chosen for us. We thank you, Father God, for everything that you have done for us and continue to do for us. We ask now, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit to teach us, Father. Teach us the message that you have for us this afternoon. Open our minds, Lord God. Soften our hearts, Lord, so that we will receive it with full humility. And Father, forgive us for our sins, for they are many. We thank you for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I entitled our message, "You Are Connected." It's like when you're at Starbucks, right? And you were at a place where you couldn't get a signal and you have to send that email. And you're trying to connect on their Wi-Fi and they finally get that message, "You are connected." Now, 3 weeks ago, we had a special time celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The great news is that we get to gather again today as believers of that truth, which makes us worship Jesus because he is alive. Amen? The reason why we do the things we do is because Jesus rose from the dead. On Resurrection Sunday, we began the series I entitled The Power of the Resurrection. We discovered that the empty tomb has the power to change our lives and give us new birth and a fresh start. Now, the last time I was here, which was 2 Sundays ago, we discussed that the resurrection proved everything that God has said, which made and makes the Bible important. Not important sitting on the table or in our bookshelves, but important for us to read, to study, and to follow, because it teaches us, it trains us for good works, and it guides our way. The saying, more than we read the Bible reads us. Through observation and application, the scriptures teach us and changes us through our Bible reading. So this afternoon, by the use of verse 18 in what you read, we're going to be tackling that connection that we have because of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection emphasizes the importance of prayer. It emphasizes it. Jesus himself, before the cross, repeatedly mentioned prayer and our need for it. When you see the message, you are connected on your MacBook or laptop or your phone because you're running out of, you don't have any signal, you have to go Wi-Fi when you were at camp. Sometimes it causes a sigh of relief. You can finally send that email or text back your crush or your boyfriend. Tell them, I'm okay, I miss you. Sometimes that sigh of relief comes from a cell phone not having any signal, and finally you're connected and you can call for help because your car broke down. Humans have invented many forms of communication, including smoke signals, messenger pigeons. You know, that never worked in the Philippines because when we get hungry, we shoot them down. Messenger pigeons, the telephone, email, and the famous electric telegraph. The telegraph and the telephone made remote and immediate communication possible in the 19th century. And telecommunications advanced rapidly in the 20th century. Now, we have email, messenger, you can do FaceTime. It doesn't matter the location or the distance, right? Why the need to be connected? Because that's how we are created. We're created to become a part of a community, and we're created to always be in need of help. Because God said in the beginning, remember, it says, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, we always put that right away for the marriage part, but not necessarily. But we saw in verse 18 that all authority was given to Jesus. Now, prayer, because Jesus resurrected from the dead, prayer becomes important because after he said that, after he was resurrected, he said, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and all authority on earth. Now, prayer is mentioned over 850 times in the Bible. 850 times. If it's repeated, it must be important. Amen? Given that number, I believe it is an extremely important and pivotal part of our relationship with God. Prayer is one of the most significant things that we can do as believers of the risen Christ. It strengthens our connection with God, and it deepens our faith. Somebody's going to ask, how does prayer connect with the resurrection? I said it earlier, but I'll mention it again. Because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it proved that he is God in the flesh. The power of God was displayed again for all of us to know through Jesus Christ's resurrection. That was another manifestation of God's power. Jesus resurrecting as he said he would highlights all that he has said for us to know and to trust. The truth about Jesus being God through his resurrection gives truth in his words. And one of his statements after the resurrection is in Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I think it's pretty clear. Jesus himself, before the cross, repeatedly mentioned prayer and our need for it. Not only did he teach it, he himself practiced it. This is us. Mark 1:35 is what you'll see in the screen. This is after a healing ministry that they did. They healed many sick in the city. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus prayed. This account was after the healing of many people and casting out demons in the whole city. You would think it would be a time for party or rest. But the very next day, early the next morning, before anyone could bother him, he went away to make sure he is alone, and then he prayed. That's because of the power of the resurrection, the power behind prayer. The prayer becomes powerful because what? Because of Jesus. Jesus is powerful because Jesus is God himself. And Jesus resurrecting from the dead proves that he is God. Amen? This is why there's a great importance in prayer. So it will pay as well if we are prayerful. I know I did a lot of praying whenever it was a math subject. I was always praying. Mostly I was praying for confession because I was copying from my seatmates. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, that's 12? And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth. It's Jesus' power, and it's by authority, it's his authority. If he says it will go, it will go. If he says no, and it's a no. And then what did he tell us? The responsibility to respond to our prayers are on him. The responsibility to pray is on us. The title of the message is, You Are Connected. Another form of communication if you are connected to a powerful person. Now, I mentioned this the last time I was here, that there are certain people that you might not be able to defeat if you were having an issue with them. You might regret it if you were to have an encounter with them, because it's not because you cannot beat them in a fight physically, but because they are very well connected to somebody very influential or powerful. Us believers, we are connected to the resurrected Christ. That is who your connection is. You are connected to the most powerful being in the universe. And not only that, the most powerful being in the universe instructs us to pray to him. So this afternoon we have 3 points. That was my introduction, by the way. 3 points. First is connected to a loving Heavenly Father. Second point is connected to an all-knowing God. And third point is connected to a powerful God. Do you see God as a loving Father? There you go. That's in Matthew 7:7-11. It reads, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, this passage is broken up to 2 sections. The second gives meaning and the insight to the first. In verses 9 to 11, if you can see there, Jesus uses an image of a good-willed earthly father to help us understand how prayer has the power to change us. He says, if a son asks for bread, surely a father would not give him a stone. Or if a fish, the father would not give him a snake. So if we, as earthly fathers, can respond to our children's request in a way that is best for them, shouldn't we be able to trust our heavenly Father to do the same? The answer should be yes, right? Because we're imperfect, he's perfect. So if we know how to take care of our children and respond to them well, to their need well and properly, how much more God? Now, to be clear, I realize that this illustration has a way of breaking down. Because there are some earthly fathers who don't make decisions to treat their children with their best interest in mind. You have not a good relationship with your father, earthly father, you have a hard time trusting God as a father. However, what Jesus is speaking about here is a good-willed earthly father, one who wants to bless his children. And they're out there. Jesus believes we can relate to God as our father and us as his children. All of this gives us insight to verse 7 and 9. Jesus offers three action words that help us discern how to interact with him when it comes to prayer and how to be changed by prayer. Jesus begins with three words regarding our prayer life, and these are ask, seek, knock. In the Greek language, these are called imperatives, essentially meaning that they are commands from God. They are commands. You are commanded to ask, to seek, and knock. But even more than that, they are present imperatives, which means that it's not just a one-time command, but it is something we are called to do continuously. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. We find as we read that there is a unique feature in them. There is a progressive intensity as we move from verse 7 to verse 9. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. I think you have a phone call. First, we are instructed to ask. This is the simplest of the three forms of action. Don't you agree? I have a hard time asking and getting a response, but I don't have a hard time asking. Asking is easy, and it's the simplest thing. When we ask for something, we are making a request, not a demand. And we are anticipating something in return, a response. God, please provide this for me. God, please help me in this situation. God, please heal my loved one. When we ask, we are not demanding. We are polite and we are patient. But we ask with confidence in the ability God has to act on our behalf. Now, Bong got married. Do you guys remember Bong? He got married, and he took his wife in a restaurant after, 3 months of honeymoon stage. And the wife goes, and Bong ordered, so did his wife. Let's just name the wife Minerva, right? I don't think anybody's named Minerva here. So the wife goes, Bong, before we eat, we have to pray. And then Bong goes, no need. They know how to cook here. Sorry. Because at the house, he prays all the time. No. Okay, never mind. I thought it was funny. Okay. So, yeah, I remember when, we'll just go to my story then. Maybe this will be funny. Whenever my children comes and ask me for something, they have no doubt when they come and ask me, they have no doubt that I can do whatever they are requesting, or else they won't ask me. When they were little, they would ask me to throw them up in the air or take them to work with me, take them with me to work, or take them to Toys R Us when it was there. Those requests were no problem. They know it. They've seen it. They felt it. They know the evidence. Daddy has, he threw me and didn't catch me that one time. Now, Jesus commands us to seek. While asking relies solely on the response of the one being asked, seeking indicates action of our own. We seek because we are looking for something. We seek because we know that there is something to find. When I lose my keys, which is every time, I have to seek them out, which typically involves asking my wife, my son, my daughter. Sometimes I would text John. Seeking takes more effort on our part because it requires us to strive even more for the things we desire. And because of this extra effort, sometimes it can be bothersome. Don't you agree? Sometimes it is frustrating. Because how much longer? Sometimes it can remain elusive. But I go on seeking because what I'm looking for is important to me. When my sister was sick, I kept on asking God. I kept on seeking God for what His will is. When we were praying for the building, as we were going to be kicked out from the old location, I kept seeking, Lord, what is your will for us? When we're in trouble and the answer is not there yet, we're told to continue to seek. So when Jesus commands us to seek in our prayer life, it has a way of maturing us. It matures us because what has improved there is our patience. We learn to wait in grace. It refines us. It teaches us. You know, when we're constantly seeking His answer, it strengthens us. And more importantly, it changes us. It's like going to the beach. You know, some people love to look for shark's teeth. Alonzo, on the other hand, likes to do what I told him not to do. There was one time that he saw a jellyfish on the shore. And I made the mistake to telling him, don't touch that. Alonzo, being the boy that he is, he didn't touch it, but he looked for a stick so he can poke it. And look for other jellyfish so he can poke more. And then he says, barbecue, barbecue. Before you knew it, he had a blister here. I don't know if he remembers. Jesus says to seek with expectancy. There have been these times in my life when I have searched for the heart of God. I have searched for the right answer to my circumstances. I have sought God's guidance. And when He responds through the mundane and the miraculous, it has taught me to keep seeking because when I do, I discover a deep relationship with God along the way. I realize that He is with me in the seeking. Have you had that prayer time when you were seeking for His answer and He seems to be elusive, but because you kept on seeking, at the end of the day, and you finally got your answer, and then you look back and you were like, my goodness, God was with me from that moment onward. Because prayer is spending time with Him. The larger part of prayer is being with God. Jesus commands us to knock. There are two obvious things to notice about knocking. First, if we are knocking, there must be some element of resistance. Something must be blocking it. There must be something in the way. If the door were already open, we won't need to knock. Don't you agree? However, this action of knocking indicates that there is indeed a door that can be opened. See, the negative thinking that we have most of the time, oh, there's a door, it must be closed. So of course, there's a door, it's closed, but it can be opened. It can be opened. When we face challenges, the challenge seems to be in the way and it's immovable. But we have to remind ourselves that God told us to knock and it will be opened. The action in knocking indicates that there is indeed a door that can be opened. There is a potential opportunity behind the closed door. Jesus is teaching us, therefore, the significance of steadfastness and passion in our prayer life to keep on knocking until the right door, is opened, because it may not be the first door we have chosen. I want this guy to marry me. Why is God not opening this door? Because that guy's already married to someone else. Stop knocking. That's already locked. Here's another door. Here's the guy that I had in mind for you. Having a prayer life of persistence makes us resilient people. I recently saw a statistic that said Usain Bolt, the record-holding, Jamaican sprinter, ran for a total of 2 minutes, to win 8 gold medals in 3 Olympics. And he earned $119 million. Wouldn't you want to run for 2 minutes and make $119 million? I know I would. However, we often forget that he, Usain Bolt, trained for 20 years, in order to run for a total of 115 seconds. 20 years to run for a total of 115 seconds, to run in, 8 years, to get 8 gold medals, to win $119 million. 20 years. Now, what's the point? That is the kind of dedication praying with persistence takes. Amen? There may be hours of knocking that result in a single answered prayer in our life. Are you still praying for that relative of yours to be saved? Are they still alive? Then you still have more praying to do. Amen? Are you still praying for God to turn your life around? Are you still breathing? Yes. So continue to pray. You still pray. Until there is life, you have the command to keep on knocking. When it comes to praying to our good-willed Heavenly Father, we are commanded to keep on knocking on the door of opportunity, the door of possibility and potential, knowing that the door that we stand before may not open right away. Additionally, that closed door may lead us to another one that will open and be better for us in the end. Because when you've experienced it, right? You're praying for something and God never gave you that because He had a different answer. Second point, which brings us to our second point, connected to an all-knowing God. Luke 22:42, Father, if you are willing, remember this? Take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. Every one of us in this room this afternoon has situations, circumstances, desires, and emergencies that Jesus tells us to bring to Him. We are invited to ask with confidence, to seek with expectancy, and to knock with persistence. What I have found to be true in my life and over many years in church ministry is that the answer to our prayers typically comes as either yes, no, not right now. And the other one is, are you serious? I think there is, but let's leave it out. This is the tough part about that passage, that God defines good differently than we do. How we think successful is not the same as from another person. Don't you agree? Successful for a Filipino-American living in this country is different from a Filipino who lives in the Philippines. It could be your relative. You both come from the same family, but you both view success differently. So if that is true between us human beings, how much more when we define what good is and God actually knows differently, defines it differently? Sometimes when we pray, we are given exactly what we need. And almost immediately, we just don't know it because we were asking for the wrong thing. While other times we are told no for our protection. And the other times is wait or not yet because the timing is not right. I was asked by a friend of mine to help him dump a lot of garbage at the landfill over by, what was that place? Lockwood, yeah, Lockwood. Early in the morning, my goodness. I went, you know, I have to say this, for the Filipinos who saw the Smoky Mountains, right, or the Payatas, man, this is a dream. The landfill here, my gosh, talk about first world. You know, they have they control the methane gas. There's like controls there. You don't really smell it, and they put dirt and gravel on top of the old trash. So there's a good trail to go up there. It was so. I was at the landfill, but I saw it very differently. I'm like, wow. I was the only one smiling there, recording. But what's my point? My point is this: I parked my car because I couldn't take it up there. My friend had to give me a ride in his truck. And when I was leaving, I was delayed because I was trying to put my GPS and there was no connection. So I was delayed about maybe, I want to say, a good 30 seconds or a minute. Let's just say a minute on when I wanted to leave. And true enough, I was driving. And if I left at the moment I wanted to leave, I would have hit the horses because there's a lot of wild horses there. There was six of them crossing the street, and one of them decided to just sit in the middle of the road. So in the Philippines, we have askals. Over here, they have ass horses. Sorry. Street horses. Wild horses. Now, sometimes I'm afraid that we tend to pray the way my children. Or maybe some of you did too when you were younger. When they would make a request to me, their earthly father, and then when they don't get what they requested from me, they got the response they didn't want. You know what they would do? Then they would go to their mom and ask their mom about the same thing, hoping that their mom would give them a different response, and then vice versa. Now, there is a tendency in every human being to do whatever is needed to do to get what we want, regardless of what our parents thought was best for us. Don't you agree? Okay, maybe just me. We do, right? We all have the tendency to want, when we want something, even though our parents said no, we're going to get it by hook or by crook. I'm going to marry this boy. I'm going to marry this girl. I'm going to go here and I'm going to do that. I'm going to buy it. Now, our second point is that we are connected to an all-knowing God. We have a good-willed Heavenly Father who is responding to our confident asking, expectant seeking, and persistent knocking in a way that has what is best for us in mind. God does not respond to our prayers out of anger or frustration toward us, but out of an everlasting love for us. We have a Father who knows what is best for us and responds to our prayers out of love, out of mercy, and from a perspective that is eternal in nature. He knows the end of the story. Amen? He knows that guy is not going to be good for you. That's why he didn't respond to your prayer. He knows that career will not be good for you because he will no longer see you at church. And that career that you were praying for was to be a professional gambler. That's why he didn't respond to it. Because he will, the moment he gives you that $2 million, your Christianity will go out the window. It's done for. No need for God. Prayer is not a way to dictate or force God's hand to do what we want. I know we don't say it out loud, but most of the time, when we want something and we're demanding it, and we think we can just squeeze God and force Him to do what we want. Prayer is us connecting. You're connected. Prayer is us connecting to our heavenly, loving Father who knows what is best for us. Third point, connected to a powerful God. Now, I mentioned about my children earlier, about them asking me for things when they were younger, you know, the throwing up in the air, taking them to work, taking them to Toys R Us. Easy things. I can do it. But as they got older, their ask became more challenging. Of course, Zoe won't ask me to throw him up in the air anymore. He actually throws me up in the air now. Good thing, you know, as their needs and their ask became more challenging, their thinking also grew. Now, Anna, when the kids were growing up, she always wanted to have musical instruments at the house because she wanted the children to be curious about music and to be into music. So she bought a keyboard. Her and I both don't know how to play a keyboard, but she bought it. So we had a keyboard at the house. Of course, the kids were wanting to play it. And lo and behold, they said, "Teach us how to play piano or a keyboard." I have no clue. I still don't have a clue. I know how to turn it on. And then the drum set, that I know how to use. But that's it. So, when Alonzo got really smart with his, you know, verbal talent, he said, "Then send me to a piano school or a piano teacher. Pay for it." So we did. Very expensive. It was Sister Farida. She's not here, but... A weekly thing for piano lessons is very expensive. But the point is this. My children found out what my limits were. Right? As we were growing up, we found out our parents' limits. As we grow together in our relationship, we will find out each other's limits. The beautiful thing about God, yeah, He has no limits. He's powerful. You know who limits God? Us. We limit Him on how our faith is so small, so tiny, so careless, so carefree, no reverence. We just use Him as a genie, as a Christian ATM. But God is more powerful than what we think He is. The power of the resurrection is that example why prayer is so powerful, because Jesus is powerful. Here are the verses. I said 850, right? So we're just going to do a 800 tonight. "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." That's Jesus speaking in John 14, 13 to 14. "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer." Matthew 21, 22. Now that's the challenging part. When we read these things and we forget about the second point, what was my second point? "Yet not my will, Lord, let your will be done." Right? Because God is powerful. If He wants it, it will be done. All He needs to do is will it. Matthew 8, 1-3. Remember this account? "When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. There will always be a need for God's help in our lives. Isn't that one of the most frustrating things, if we're going to be honest? It doesn't matter how much money you have in a bank, because problems are not only made up of money. Don't we agree? Successful couple, power couples, money, multimillionaire together. But what would their problem be? Their marital problems. No marital problems, but they're successfully financially sound. But what would their problem be? Health problems. They're both healthy. They have multi-millions together. They're not separating. They're faithful to each other, but their children got into trouble. Their children are healthy. They're not in trouble. They're both wealthy. They're both healthy. They love each other. They have millions of dollars together in the bank, but war breaks out. There will always be a need for God's help. This is why a follower, believer of Jesus, develops humility. This is why believers become humble. Because the moment that we realize who God is the moment we realize who we are. We understand His greatness. We understand our finiteness. His greatness, our littleness. And then Jamie made a face like, finiteness is not a word. When we become a Pentecostal church, you're going to be preaching up here. No. We are humbled, right? Believers of Jesus Christ develop humility. And in prayer, we are humbled. We ask, we knock, we lift up our need for His help in confidence because we know that He is our loving Heavenly Father. We then surrender to His wisdom. And then we trust that His love for us is there and it will never go away. And we trust in His wisdom. The outcome will be for our own good because we trust in His wisdom and because He loves us. And then we count on His will happening because of His mighty power, because He has the power to do what He desires. We've seen that many times in our lives. And we know about it time and time again from other people's testimonies. And we also know about it with our study, the studying of God's Word. So, what now? Okay, Jesus resurrected from the dead, makes prayer powerful. What now? There's a story about African converts to Christianity. They were earnest and regular in private devotions. Each one reportedly had a separate spot in the thicket where he would pour out his heart to God. Over time, the paths to these places became well-worn because they kept going to it, right? So the path was obvious. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it was apparent to the others, and they would kindly remind the negligent one, brother, the grass grows on your paths. So be careful not to let the grass grow on your path. Choose a time and place when and where you can be consistent. Daily ask, seek, knock, so that your mind stays connected to our loving Heavenly Father. And let the power of prayer change you. Amen?
What now? Obvious. Be prayerful. A believer of the resurrected Christ must have a prayerful lifestyle. Not a prayerful moment. We will all have our prayerful moment. You don't even have to be a Christian to have a prayerful moment. You just need to be driving in the freeway and you will have a prayerful moment when a California driver cuts you. Oh my gosh, Lord, help me. Right? It's a prayerful lifestyle is what we have to have. One of the most profound outcomes of practicing an ask, seek, and knock prayer life is a change that takes place inside of us. When we finally realize that there is nothing that we can do without God's help, there's nothing that we can do that will be successful, nothing that we can do that will be fruitful without God's help. And the only way we can get God's help is if we ask Him. If you have ministries that you are leading, be prayerful. If you have a family to lead, be prayerful. If you have children, I know you're prayerful. If you have parents that are aging, be prayerful. If you have loved ones who are not saved, be prayerful. This is what Paul said in Philippians 4, 6 to 7 as we close. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, there is a peace that comes to us that cannot be explained when we bring our situations and circumstances to God. Amen? If you have been in that moment before where you had no one else to run to and your strength is depleted, you know what? And even your faith was on the negative. You were running on fumes in your faith. But you had that one urge in your heart and you said, Lord, help me. Help my failing faith. You know that feeling, that peace that comes, though your trouble was still very much there and your strength was still not there, God gives you that peace telling you, I have everything under control. When we place it all on His feet, all at His feet, we can trust that He knows what is best. We don't have to manipulate. We have to be very careful with that. Or control the situation to meet our desires. Because we believe that God has our best interest in mind. Anxiety has the tendency to attack our hearts and our minds. Sadly. It cripples our emotions and it clouds our thinking. But prayer can guard us from anxiety and fear. Because we prayed to a powerful, loving, all-knowing God. With God's help, this practice can be a daily part of our lives. It should be a daily part of our lives. And it changes us over time to become agents of peace ourselves. Without making prayer a priority, without making prayer as a lifestyle, we can easily allow our hearts and minds to become vulnerable to these attacks again. So, when we pray, remember, this is from William Barclay. The love of God that wants the best for us, the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us, the power of God that can accomplish whatever His will is. Amen? That's our message this afternoon. Thank you very much for your patience. As the music team make their way up here, if you have any decision you want to make this afternoon, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord, please come up so we can lead you into that prayer. If you want to receive the resurrected Christ as your Lord and to be finally be forgiven from your sins that you cannot save yourself from, please come up so we can lead you into that prayer. And if you're here and you're going through troubles, that, you know, with your health, your heart is failing you with the challenges that you are facing and you need prayer, please come up. Don't come to church and not be prayed over. Please come up so we can pray for you. And if you've been visiting us for quite some time and the Lord has impressed it in your heart to become a part of this church, please come up so we can recognize you. Let's all rise as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the message that you've given to us about prayer. We realize, Lord God, that nothing about us can accomplish anything that is fruitful, Lord God, if we are apart from you. And the only way for us to be truly connected with you is through prayer. We pray, Father God, that you override our will, our stubbornness. Override our stubbornness to not want to pray and lift things up to you. Remove our pride, Lord God, of saying, I can still do it. Remove it, Lord God. We cannot, Lord. We need your help. Remove our pride so we can receive your grace. I pray for my brothers and sisters who are going through trouble. Please comfort them, Lord God. Comfort them, Lord, for the trials that they are facing. Encourage those who are discouraged, Lord God, and save those who are lost. I pray for broken relationships, Father. I pray for humility for the one person who wronged the other. And I pray for forgiveness for that person who was wronged. Restore that relationship, Lord God. And Father, please be with us. Help us to live your will, Lord God, this coming days. May we not put your name in vain with our life. Give us the wisdom to know what to say and what not to say, what to do and what not to do. Guide us, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the Lord's people said, Amen.